Earlier today, the governors of two great states sat down in NBC's Studio 6B here in New York to discuss the presidential election on the American Forum of the Air. With only 8 days until election, we knew that the discussion would be heated, so we sent along Monitor's most heat-resistant microphone to record the discussion of Governor Theodore McKeldin of Maryland and Governor Robert B. Minor of New Jersey. The moderator, Steve McCormick.
In just 10 days, the voters of America will go to the polls to decide their national leaders for the next 4 years. Will it be Eisenhower or Stevenson? The outcome will have a profound effect on the nation and the world. Today on the American Forum, we're pleased to have two of the outstanding young governors of America. The Honorable Theodore McKeldin, Republican of Maryland, twice elected governor in his traditionally Democratic state, an ardent supporter of President Eisenhower. And the Honorable Robert Minor, Democratic governor of the traditionally Republican state of New Jersey, who's been speaking throughout the nation on behalf of Adlai Stevenson. Well, gentlemen, the big news today spotlights the fighting in the Balkans. Yesterday, Adlai Stevenson claims that the revolts in Poland and Hungary caught the administration off guard. He says that President Eisenhower has too often been ignorant of these crises that developed. Governor McKeldin, do you feel that this is true?
I think that's typical of the wild statements born of desperation that are being made by that gentleman in the last hours of the campaign when he knows he's defeated.
Governor Minor?
I think the assertion can be backed up by facts. Now, I recall about a year ago, France walked out of the United Nations discussion. And at a press conference sometime later, the president indicated that he hadn't known that they had left. Indochina, there were contradictory statements. We were going to fight for Indochina, and finally they gave up half of it. Arms to Israel, when the Saudi Arabia tank shipment was up for consideration. They vacillated in 48 hours towards sending them, withdrawing the shipment, and making the shipment. Aid to Yugoslavia. The administration had great difficulty with Senator Nolan and Bridges in trying to continue that aid, and I think that's something that gave rise to a little backbone to people in Hungary and in Poland.
Governor McKeldin, do you feel, sir, that you're able to answer some of these comments made by your colleague?
Well, of course, I believe that President Eisenhower, who is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, a man who probably has more knowledge of world affairs than Mr. Stevenson, I feel confident that the American people have great confidence in his ability, in his judgment, and in his integrity. And if for some reason President Eisenhower changed his plans to do what he did, I am confident that the American people are convinced that that was the right thing to do at that time. While we may not agree with everything that he has done, the fact is that we are at peace now. And when he became president, we were at war. The fact is that we have, at the present time, the greatest era of prosperity in the history of the country. And I believe that Mr. Eisenhower, in his conduct of the affairs, has won the hearts of our people. And despite all of the attacks that Mr. Stevenson has made, none of them have penetrated him yet. So in desperation, we come up with these attacks at the present time, the hydrogen bomb and all of the others.
This is a desperate attack, Governor Minor?
I'm merely citing the facts, and Governor McKeldin hasn't answered any of them. I cited what happened with France walking out of the United Nations, arms to Israel, aid to Yugoslavia. I'm mentioning those situations. There's no answer on that except mere conclusions. I say that there's a clear indication that this administration has been playing a role of adopting the expedient course, the course of the moment, failing to act until there is a crisis. As a matter of fact, Mr. Dulles himself, in an article in a periodical, a leading periodical, spoke of his brink of war theory, how he had moved to the point where it was his skill which prevented us from getting into these struggles.
Yes, and I think that's true, too. I think that it is the skill of the president and of Mr. Dulles that that is so. Of course, it disturbed Mr. Stevenson that we were on the brink, and unfortunately, we did not plunge over the plink. I think it disturbed them because this administration has been able to keep us from plunging over that brink, and during our administration, there has been no fighting war, so far as American soldiers are concerned, in any spot in the world. And that the communists have not moved in on the territory that they moved in under the previous administration under the direction of Mr. Etchison.
This is at odds with the facts. The communists have extended their regime.
Where?
In Indochina.
Indochina.
In the Middle East. Russia, in its greatest empire before communism, was hoping
they
to,
were there.
To get into the
they
Middle East.
They were there.
There's no question
they
they're
were
in the
there
Middle
in
East
Indo-
today.
Indonesia,
and we're worried about it.
They were there in Indonesia, and there was a separation there.
I say if there were a sound policy which looked forward and didn't wait until these crises arrived,
what makes
we
you
could
think
help
that
solve
there's
this
nothing
problem.
Being done in the administration in Washington? What makes you think that the State Department is not aware of these things? That Mr. Stevenson, who has no ability, who has no knowledge, who has no training in this, what makes you think that Mr. Stevenson knows all about this when the administration has apparently been caught asleep?
As a matter of fact, you just ask a question that's quite similar to that one. When did you last stop beating your wife? You know that that's
you have no wife,
question.
So I couldn't ask you. Well, you're an old bachelor.
But you
couldn't
know
ask
that
the president
that's an unfair
that either.
Question, no. And you're very unfair in making the assertion and expecting me to answer the question that Adlai Stevenson doesn't have a skill. You know he's a lawyer.
I know
that he worked with the federal government. That he was an assistant to the Secretary of the Navy. You know that he traveled on military government affairs throughout the Mediterranean
area.
You are
not going to compare.
You know that
you're
as a fellow governor, he stood up and led an administrative program in Illinois.
As a fellow governor, he did not do a good job in Illinois. You are familiar with his administration in Illinois.
And
you
I
are familiar with the scandals in connection with that. You are familiar with the fact that Governor Stratton, who ran against Mr. Stevenson's candidate, overwhelmingly defeated it because the administration of Mr. Stevenson in Illinois was overwhelmingly repudiated by the people of Illinois, and Mr. Eisenhower carried that state, his own state, by a tremendous majority, and the indications are that he will carry it again by a big majority.
Noise doesn't win an argument. Governor McKeldin, you haven't cited one administrative misdeed in the Stevenson administration in Illinois. Now cite it, and just don't talk about election results.
Yeah.
In his administration, as 3 years of governor
of Illinois. Never heard of
the
meat scandals in Illinois? You never heard of those?
Why
did the people of Illinois?
I mean, you want to talk about scandals. How about talking about the Hodges affair in Illinois now under the Republican administration?
Yes, but the governor has nothing to do with that.
No.
That's the treasurer, certainly. No. Any more than somebody that was elected in your state.
But I really think we should get down to the issues in this campaign.
I hope you do, because we've been trying to get you fellows down to that for a long
time.
Well,
I'm trying to get you down to facts rather than rabid assertions.
Let's move to one big issue, gentlemen, and that's the question of the H-bomb. Now, the president has called Mr. Stevenson's proposals on H-bomb control incredible folly, and he's also called them a theatrical gesture. Do you feel, Governor Minor, that Stevenson will lose votes because of this comment by the president?
I don't know whether he's going to win votes or lose votes, but he talks sound common sense. The problem, as I see it, is a great number of scientists have said that with the explosion of the hydrogen bomb, you face consequences which may mean the ruination of the race and the development of horrible disease. There's no question about that. That's been recognized by the Pope in his pronouncement last Christmas. It's been realized by hundreds of Protestant clergymen. People realize it is a serious problem. Now, there are only three nations that have the know-how of the hydrogen bomb now, and all of the other nations are in fear of the use of this kind of energy. They have definitely said something ought to be done about it.
Governor McKeldin, how do you feel about it, sir?
Well, of course, I am sure that the president feels the same way. The president has on 15 different occasions attempted to get Russia to sit down and to come to some agreement. But that hasn't been possible. And until it is possible to get the Russians to agree to some inspection, I think it is the height of folly for us to abandon the testing of the H-bombs. I believe that the H-bomb is the greatest deterrent to war. And with the Russians at the present time, with their hands dripping red, with the bloods of the Poles and the Hungarians, I think it would be folly for us to take their word for anything. We want an inspection, and if it is an inspection, the Eisenhower administration that has been trying on 15 different occasions to do it. I agree with those 12 scientists who said the other day that until an international agreement is reached with guarantees which protect the American people and the peoples of the free world, the testing must go on. They were 12, as you remember, coming out of Denver, of the leading scientists. And then they said this, that the harmful radioactive fallout from nuclear explosion is not anywhere near the radioactivity man is exposed to from such sources as cosmic rays and the medical use of X-rays.
Well, it seems to me that the president at one point wants to make a great to-do about his achievements at Geneva, and the basis of the Geneva conference was his ability to arrive at some understanding with the Russians. At one point, he wants to say he can get along with them. At the other point, he says, I can't get along with them. Now, my point is this, that if because we thought chemical warfare was so bad after World War I, we could make an agreement with other nations that it wouldn't be used, and that agreement was effective without any inspection. Why? Because the people in the world feared the consequences of those horrible gases. And I'm convinced today that the people of the world are so fearful and public opinion is so great that an agreement without the inspection would be possible. Now, secondly, it has been definitely established that you can't explode one of these things without the rest of the world knowing it. And finally, we must remember that we fired the first two atomic bombs on innocent civilian populations. The rest of the world is looking to us for leadership. If we, a nation of 170 million people, want to lead a world of 2,500,000,000, we've got to do something bold. We've got to do something that inspires confidence. And it seems the step that's suggested by Stevenson, which might possibly stir the rest of the nations of the world and also offer us a chance of avoiding race ruination, is a reasonable proposition.
Yes, I don't think so. I don't believe that the American people will stand for the reduction or for the ceasing of the testings of the H-bomb on the words of the Russians, in whom we have absolutely no confidence. It is true that the president called them together. It is true that he went there to meet with them. He has made every effort possible to come to an agreement to meet the Russians. When they sent that letter to him, he didn't send it back to them as he probably should have. He is anxious to sit down and talk with them. He kept the letter, read the letter, and is attempting again to get in touch with them. I don't believe that we should cease testing the H-bomb until we have an inspection with the Russians. I have no confidence in the Russians, despite Mr. Stevenson's and your confidence in them.
I'm not saying I have confidence in them.
And Mr.
Stevenson says he has no confidence in them. But there are situations you can get them in by which world public opinion will force them to it and by which you will gain with the other nations of the world. You've got all of these other nations fearful of what the knowledge of England and the United States and Russia will do. Here's a chance to assume leadership. Here's a chance to make progress. When you've got your leading scientists, your leading church people saying something should be done about it, shouldn't we sit down and try to work it out?
We have tried for 15 various times. We have tried to, but you just simply can't take the word of the communist, God-defying Russians, and our people are not going to do
but
it.
But yet the president is boasting about what was achieved
not
at
boasting
Geneva,
at all. It's not the nature of this man. It's not the nature
Russia
of this man, Eisenhower,
States.
To boast. It's not his nature to boast. He is a humble man. He has made the attempt. He has gone anyplace to talk with these Russians to get them to some common agreement, and that's what he has
without
done.
Without facts are not very valid.
Well, gentlemen,
I don't understand what you mean by facts. He went there. He made the agreement. He talked with them.
He brought a new kind of...
And he says, I worked it out with Russia.
He didn't now, say when he worked out. He's attempting to work it out with them. How can you work out anything with them?
Well, that's what he said after the Geneva conference. He's been boasting in this...
When did he say that? You got the quotation there, Governor?
No, I haven't got the quotation. But as a matter of fact, the Republican Party and the President have been boasting about their achievements in Geneva as to how they have a better working relationship.
Listen, the Republican Party, it's a bipartisan. Senator George and others have been in on all of this. So what has been done has not been done as Republicans. It's been done as a bipartisan.
Well, let's have a bipartisan approach by which we can eliminate a hydrogen bomb test.
He's informed Stevenson of all of the actions that have been taken. Stevenson asked for it, and he gladly turned it all to him. He knows exactly what's going on. What more bipartisan do you want than that?
Did we have any inspection in the international agreement to abandon the use of chemical warfare?
We're dealing with Russians. We're dealing with a different
Well, Russia was a party
people.
To
We're
it, and they didn't use it in World War II.
Well, they were our allies then. They were not our enemies.
May I go along to another subject, if I might? We have a limited number of minutes and a great deal to discuss. Certainly today in the news, the president's health and the possibility of Richard Nixon taking over is much to be seen. What effect will this have on voting? And this... The report today of the president's health, this examination that he's having made down at Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, is it a purely involuntary thing in his part? Does he feel that this is a political gesture, Governor McKeldin, or is it sincere?
I think it's purely involuntary. I think that this Mr. Eisenhower is not in any sense a politician. If he were a politician, when he went to Panama, he never would have said when he was asked, I don't feel as good now as I did last year. If he were a politician, he would have thrown out his chest and thumped it. Why, he would have said, I feel like a 6 year older. This man is just fundamentally and innately honest. If he does not feel good, if this report is a bad report, you need have no trouble. He will say so.
Well, I noticed that the governor avoided answering your question. I think a lot of people are concerned about what would happen if the president were elected and if Nixon were the next vice president. As a matter of fact, last Sunday, as I was driving in a cab in New York, I asked the cab driver how he was going to vote, and he said, well, he was going to vote for Stevenson. He might even vote for Eisenhower, but he couldn't stand Nixon. Now, I think the president has some doubts about him because Mr. Stassen, who's very close to him, had some doubts for some weeks. Secondly, I was out in California about 2 weeks ago, and never in any place at the mention of a man's name, and of course I was at partisan audiences, did I hear more boos in the native state of this man. And I think they must have known something about his record as a congressman and a United States senator. They must have known about his partisan approach, which rises above a question of conscience.
Governor
and
McCullough.
People are worried about this.
Yeah, you know, I wondered why, when you talked about that, I listened to Dick Nixon on the television the other day. He was interviewed by the press. I'm just wondering why Mr. Stevenson does not permit himself to be interviewed by the press. And then may I say this, I was in a taxi cab doing Chicago. I debated Hubert Humphrey, and I asked the taxi cab man the same way. I said, what are you going to vote for? He said, I'm going to vote for Eisenhower. I said, are you a Republican or Democrat? He said, I'm a Democrat. I said, why? He was an Irishman. He said, I had a kid that was fighting in Korea. I said, he ain't fighting now, he's home. And he said, look at the business here. He said, one guy jumps out of my cab and three guys fight to get in it. Then he said to me, do you know any stuff better than that I can put in my beer? Well, being a non-drinking man, I don't know what that means, but it sounded like pretty good stuff to me. And speaking of the key father, that vice president, remember what Adelaide said about him 6 months ago? He said that Estes had the worst voting record, the second worst voting record of anybody in the United States Senate. Now, has he changed? Do you think Estes any better than he was 6 months ago? Do you think he'll make a better vice president now than he did then when he had such a bad voting record?
As a matter of fact, the question was about Nixon, and now you're talking about a lot of other
exactly.
things.
Exactly. I'm asking you about Estes. You're asking about Nixon.
I'll compare Estes Kefauver's record with Nixon any day as a congressman and a United States senator. He has not been the prisoner of a bunch of reactionary forces. He has definitely been on the side of better wage relations in minimum wage laws, in public housing, in many of the things that are designed for the millions of our citizens. And I say the record of the vice president is poor in that regard, and I think that's why the people in California are so upset about him.
How unfortunate that Mr. Stevenson doesn't think the same thing about Estes as you did. All of the violent and vicious things he said about Estes in that campaign, and all of the things that Estes said about him. You remember Estes said that Attlee was a man who was desperate and talking nonsense, and a lot of people still think that they're talking nonsense. I think you should get a hold of Mr. Stevenson, see if you can convert him about Estes, because they apparently mistrust each other.
Well, there's no doubt that there was a little discussion during that campaign, but it isn't as it's painted by you.
Not by me, by the press, by the press. I ain't talking about what I read in the newspaper. I don't know anything about it.
I'm talking about the actual speeches which were made. And if you had read the speeches...
I read it. I'll quote it to you. I got it right here. I got it right here. I wrote it down here.
I would say that if you read the speeches both of them gave, there was some discussion as to who was more in favor of civil rights than the other. As a matter of fact, I heard Estes Kefauver when he was confronted at a news conference, and incidentally, Stevenson goes to the news conferences, and I've watched him there.
TV press conference, I mean.
Well, you mean the kind that the president set up where everybody's screened in advance?
The kind that they've asked him for. The press don't set up one like that. You can't buy the American press money, brother.
As a matter of fact, I've seen those conferences where Stevenson is available to answer questions of the press. And
but
I don't think there's any doubt
about
it.
Maybe he's available, but he hasn't been on one yet.
Maybe he doesn't get quite the same publicity as the president does at his press conference.
Well, they're anxious to have him. He has turned them down deliberately, and you know that.
No, I don't know it.
Well, I'm telling you then. I'm glad to inform you.
Well, I'm
you
glad
that
you're informed.
Yes,
about
I'll read the paper
campaign
too.
Well, gentlemen, as you know, we're concerned with what states are going to vote for whom this year. Now, you're a Republican, Governor McKeldin, yet you're in the Southern Governors Conference. Do you feel that you'll get any states at all in the South?
Oh, of course I do. We'll carry Maryland. I mean, Mr. Stevenson has abandoned Maryland. He hasn't come in there. He's coming in on Tuesday, I think, for a little meeting in one of the public squares in the City Hall. And the Democratic leaders, of course, acknowledge the fact that he has abandoned Maryland. We carried Maryland for Dewey in 48. We carried it for Stevenson by 104,000. We are going to carry Virginia. We only lost Kentucky by 700 when Barkley was running. Now John Sherman Cooper, a magnificent senator, will be overwhelmingly elected, 700. We'll carry Kentucky. We'll carry Florida. And with Governor Shivers campaigning all over the South for Eisenhower, we're going to carry Texas. We carried Oklahoma. We carried Missouri before. And Tennessee. We're going to do the same thing again.
Governor McKeldin, you remind me of a radio program I listened to after the election in 1948.
How about 52?
I went back home and turned on the radio, and I heard the great commentators tell what was wrong with their predictions. Rather than rely on your predictions or the predictions I read in the periodicals and newspapers, I'd like to leave this debate to the great American people. And I don't think it's my role. I'm for Stevenson and Kefauver, and I'm for them 100%. But I'm not going to predict what the great American people are going to do. Too many people have made a mistake that way. Let's put our trust in them, and I'm sure they'll give us the answer. And no matter what happens, we'll get along. I'm hoping for a Democratic victory. I think we got the better candidates. But why should I, or why should you, make these wild assertions as to what we're going to do here and there? It doesn't win anybody
over. I've
been
asked. He asked me what I thought, and I'm telling you what he thought. Now, I could be hypocritical like a lot of other people and say I don't know, when in my own I have an opinion. So I'm giving my opinion exactly what he asked for. Is there anything wrong about that in the American tradition for a man to speak his mind without having to be smeared with innuendo such as you do now? This is apparently the method of your party this
there's
time.
There's no innuendo about my remarks. I look you in the eye and I say I think you're wrong.
Well, that's right. But
is that innuendo? That's blunt.
Well, now, gentlemen, let's go back a few months, too. I remember talk about a high-level campaign from both sides. And yet, lately, we've been reading a little bit about low-level campaigns. You're both veterans in politics. Is it possible to go right up to Election Day and have what we hear is the high-level campaign?
It is, if you don't have people like Stevenson making the charges he did. He's coming on Tuesday to Baltimore, and I would wish when he came to Baltimore Tuesday that he would do the decent thing and apologize to Dr. Milton S. Eisenhower, the president of the Johns Hopkins University, that he smeared and said that they were responsible for the $10 million loan to Perron, when, of course, it was the Truman administration. Perron flourished under Truman, not under the Eisenhower administration. He collapsed under this administration. Now, I wish that he would do the decent thing when he comes to Baltimore and apologize to Dr. Milton S. Eisenhower.
I think, as a matter of fact, that the more informed sources indicate that Dr. Milton Eisenhower advised the president or was of the opinion that Perón was the worst of the evils in Argentina. Now, there may have been some misassertion. Maybe there was a mistake made with respect to the loan. But I don't think that there's any doubt that Perón was more or less endorsed or he was put up with as the de facto situation in Argentina. So that for you to ask for an apology when Dr. Milton Eisenhower was somewhat disposed to accept Perón is a little unbecoming, it seems
not
to me.
No, sir. He was not inclined to accept him. On the contrary, it was just the opposite.
Well, the reports loan, I read at that time
Stevenson said the
that.
Loan was made by us. That is not true. He was misinformed. He simply does not know what is going on. That loan was made by the Truman administration, and Perón flourished under the Truman administration and collapsed under the Eisenhower administration.
Some of it was carried through by the Eisenhower.
They're the facts. Let's stick to the facts. They're the facts that I'm giving you. Don't give me what people said about informed. They're the facts.
Well, I'm also giving you the facts.
These are the facts, and he knows that this is not true, and yet he has not said one word about it since he made this mistake.
I don't think you can make that assertion that he knows that it's untrue.
He either knows it's untrue, or then he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, you put it everywhere you want to. He doesn't know what he's talking about, or he doesn't know it's not true.
I say that the Eisenhower administration continued to support the Perón administration until events in the country made the change. And now you ask him to apologize.
Gentlemen, we've heard the phrase integrity in government quite a bit. We don't have much time to discuss this, but briefly, could you give me your idea as to how you're going to win with that phrase and using it, Governor Martin?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that there hasn't been too much integrity in that respect. I think all you have to do is look at the leases that the Secretary McKay made of our grazing lands, of our wildlife refugees. You only have to look at the Dixon Yates contract, which for many months the president supported and which was the direct result of an official of the First Boston Corporation serving the government and putting the deal through.
Equal time out of Governor McKeldin.
Yes, well, Edgar Dixon, of course, I think he's one of the finest citizens of your great state. He, of course, is a vestryman in the Episcopal Church at Tenafly. He's probably done more for the Young Men's Christian Association in Hackensack, New Jersey. And I'm sure he is one of the finest men in your state, and I know that you would not attempt to smear one of your own citizens across the country by saying that there's something crooked about Edgar Dixon. He is a splendid man. When we discovered that there was something wrong,
gentlemen,
we didn't cover up. We are cleaning it up.
I must interrupt. I find that our time is up. I do wish we had more time. Thank you very much for being with us today, Governor Theodore McKeldin, Republican of Maryland, and Governor Robert Minor, Democrat of New Jersey. The nation's first discussion program, the American Forum, is now in its 28th year, founded and produced by Theodore Granick. This is Steve McCormick bidding you goodbye.
Reprints of today's discussion on the American Forum send 10 cents to Ransdell Incorporated, Washington, 18, D.C. Next week at this time, NBC will bring you Youth Wants to Know with Paul Butler, chairman of the Democratic National Committee, and Leonard Hall, chairman of the Republican National Committee.
Governor Theodore McKeldin of Maryland and Governor Robert E. Minor of New Jersey have been moderator Steve McCormick's guests on the American Forum of the Air. Next week at this same time, as you heard, another thought-provoking program, Youth Wants to Know, answering the questions we all want the answers to. This is Gene Hamilton at Radio Central in New York. We'll be back with you in a little more than a minute.